If I might, I'd like to say a few words to the youth of Zion. I love them, and they know it. Follow Brother Hanks. The story of Joseph, the son of Jacob, who was called Israel, is a vivid representation of the great truth that all things work together for good to those that love God. Joseph always seemed to do the right thing, but still more importantly, he did it for the right reason. And how very, very significant this is. Joseph was sold by his brother as a slave and was purchased by Potiphar, a captain of the guard of Pharaoh. But even as an indentured servant, Joseph still turned everything, all circumstances, no matter how trying, into something good. This ability to make something good of every situation is a godly characteristic. Our Heavenly Father always seems to be able to do this. Everything, no matter how dire, becomes a victory to the Lord. Joseph, although a slave and wholly undeserving of this fate, nevertheless remained faithful to the Lord and continued to live his commandments, and made something very good out of these degrading circumstances. People like this cannot be defeated because they will not give up. They have the correct positive attitude. A Dale Carnegie expression seems to apply. If you feel that you have a lemon, you can either fuss about how sour it is or you can make a lemonade. It's all up to you. Failure ceases to exist in the face of persistence. And so the Lord prospered Joseph, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and made Joseph overseer over all of his house. And all that he had, he put into Joseph's hand. So implicit was his trust in this remarkable young man that Potiphar did not even bother to keep an accounting of his own possessions. Naturally, such a remarkable young person would be enticing to the opposite sex, and so it was with Joseph. Potiphar's wife, who, to say the very most for, was of doubtful character, attempted to seduce Joseph. But Joseph was untouchable because of his trust and reliance on the Lord. He tried to reason with her by saying, "My master hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none in this house greater than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife." Then it would seem that he should have followed this declaration with a profession of loyalty to his master because of his appreciation of the trust that Potiphar had placed in him. But such was not the case. Instead, his statement of why he would not submit to her demands revealed the real strength of this choice young man. He said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" With this statement, Joseph showed that he was determined to do the right thing, but to do it for the right reason. What was the reason? Because he loved the Lord. Oh yes, it's good to be loyal to our employer or to our friends or to our family. Loyalty is akin to honesty. And if you're not honest, you're really not much good. You're not good to yourself because you lie to yourself. You're no good to your friends because they can't trust you. You're no good to the Lord because he can't use you. Unless, of course, it would be for a bad example. If you make a mistake, don't give up. All is not lost. You can always be used as a bad example. Joseph vividly demonstrated why he was favored of the Lord, or as the scripture said, why the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. His reliance was upon the Lord. His trust was in the Lord. His allegiance ran to the Lord. I believe that this is the greatest lesson that the youth of Zion can learn. To do the right thing because you love the Lord. It is so vitally important that I feel if you do anything in righteousness for any reason other than you love the Lord, you are wrong. Or at least you're on very shaky ground. Because somewhere your reason for acting in righteousness will not be strong enough to see you through. You'll give way to expediency or peer group pressures or to honor or fame or applause or some other thrill of the moment or worldly reason. Unless your motives are built upon the firm foundation of love of the Lord, you will not be able to stand. It seems that in this day and time, everything is in a state of change. There appears to be nothing in this life that is not subject to erosion or decay or just change for the sake of change, like the new automobile models each year. There's only one place where you can go and find consistency, and that's where Joseph went, to the Lord, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the most important fact is that there is no place that you can go where he is not. In the words of the psalmist, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee." Whether walking on the moon or probing the immensities and the vastness of space, or in the depths of the sea, or in darkest Africa, or yes, in Salt Lake City, he is there. Oh, if we could only learn this lesson and look to his living prophet on earth. In this day and time, following the living prophet is the only way that we can follow the Lord God and do his will. You can't do it by quoting the dead prophets or ignoring or throwing rocks at the living prophets. Following the prophet today, President Harold B. Lee, is the only real safety we can know in this time of decay. Let us continue with Joseph's story briefly. Perhaps we can learn by following Joseph's example how that we might handle a difficult situation if we were faced with it at some time or other. The scripture records that Joseph stoutly resisted the advances of Potiphar's wife. But one day he went into the house to do his business, and it so happened that there were none of the men of the house there within. Now this is always a dangerous situation and should be avoided at all possible. Potiphar's wife became particularly insistent, even to taking hold of his coat and attempting to draw him to her. But Joseph did the very best thing he could do under the circumstances. The scripture records, he left his garment in her hand and fled and got himself out. Or in today's language, he ran. And maybe that doesn't sound like it's too sophisticated. Running sometime is the most important thing that you can do. And this was such a time. I'm sure that Joseph did not know that he was going to be alone with her, or he would never have gone into the house. I have great faith in Joseph. It is more important to beware of compromising situations than anything else we can do. We must avoid them. If we don't, we'll run the risk of being overcome. In my experience, I've found it's very dangerous to fly just high enough to miss the treetops. I flew the Navy's airplanes for 26 years. It was very exciting to see just how close to the trees you could fly. It was also extremely dangerous. When you're flying just high enough to clear the trees and your engine coughs once, you're in the trees. Now let's pretend that the Navy had a commandment, "Thou shalt not fly thy airplane in the trees." As a matter of fact, they did have such a commandment. In order to be really free of the commandment, it becomes necessary for me to add a commandment of my own to the Navy's commandment. That is, "Thou shalt not fly thy airplane closer than 5,000 feet to the trees." When you do this, you make the Navy's commandment of not flying in the trees very easy to live. Admittedly, this latter commandment is your own addition, and care should be exercised that you do not get it mixed up with the law and expound it as the law. Rather, it is your own commandment invented by you for your own self-preservation. And if you're going to preach it, you should expound it as such. We would studiously, or we should studiously avoid placing ourselves in positions where we could be overcome by temptation. Paul's admonition that we avoid even the appearance of evil represents an addition to the Lord's commandment, which is to forsake all evil and entangle not yourselves in sin. But if we follow Paul's admonition, we will find the Lord's commandment much easier to live. It is so important that young people who are unmarried erect barriers against temptation to help them avoid the compromising situations. May I suggest just a few barriers? One, never go into a house alone with one of the opposite sex. Never, never enter a bedroom alone with one of the opposite sex. Number three, do not neck or pet. Now, admittedly, there is no place in the Scriptures where the Lord has said, thou shalt not neck or pet. I know that. But he has said, thou shalt not commit adultery or fornication or anything like unto it. Never park on a lonely road with just the two of you alone. Do not read pornographic literature. Do not attend R or X-rated movies and avoid drive-ins. Do not spend time in drinking or gambling establishments. Admittedly, these are just a few of the personal commandments that you might adopt. You should make up your very special and specific list of commandments, such as, I'll never accept another date from Herman. Such commandments would depend on your own past experience and your own particular weaknesses. Of course, there's no guarantee that your personal barrier will always stand. Some may fail, you may slip or break your own commandment. And if and when you do, remember Joseph and follow his example. You can always run and get yourself out. Get out before the Lord's commandment is broken. Yes, Joseph ran, and because he did, he was temporarily placed in prison, where he was shut out from society. But if he had not run, he would have been an eternal prisoner, being shut out from God perhaps forever, because he would not have been in condition to receive the necessary communication that made him the great prophet that he was. The Lord has such great and tremendous blessings in store for the youth of Zion today if they will but walk uprightly before the Lord and keep his commandments and thus qualify for his blessings. As it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Such blessings come only through obedience to his commandments. He has stated, there is a law irrevocably decreed in heaven upon which all blessings are predicated. And when we receive or obtain any blessing from God, it is by obedience to that law upon which it's predicated. And again he has said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. I pray that we may walk in righteousness because we love the Lord, for surely this is the right reason. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.